I just went and had an orthopedic appointment with Dr. Bone.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week, we talk with guest Brianne Bilyeu from Freethought Blogs. We talk about all sorts of different stuff, including how to pronounce her name correctly, which I fail to do.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host for this week. I'm Tim Wick. I'm joined by my co-host Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Molly Glover.
Hello.
And I'm joined by our guest this week, Brianne Bilyeu. Bilyeu.
Oh my God.
Out of the gate.
We just talked about it before we started.
She even had a comedic antidote.
She did.
Mnemonic to help remember
and
her
I
name.
And I fucked it up anyway. I'm sorry. Well, I got your first name right. That's what
right.
Matters.
Brianne Bilyeu.
Brianne Bilyeu, who, among other things, blogs at BioDark on Freethought Blogs, and also is a host on Atheists Talk.
Yes.
Radio.
Well so, pronounced.
Thank you. I got the talk right. I didn't say talk yo.
And as I clarify, that's not apostrophe S. That's plural atheists. Yeah.
It's
an important
talk.
Clarification.
So welcome to the podcast, Brianne. Thanks for coming. And Brianne, much like Ron Bauman a few weeks ago, you have a list of things that you came to talk about.
I do.
So normally we would ask questions, but it sounds like you would like to guide what we discussed today. So what do you got?
Well, I've got like two major topics.
Okay.
Personal and geeky. May I say the phrase geeky boners?
Oh yeah,
yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not trade. It's not
part.
Trademarked.
That's the best part of boners is everyone can have one.
Yay.
So.
So I don't know. I could go off of like just a little bit about me first.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Please.
Okay. So like you said, Tim, I blog at BioDark on Freethought Blogs, and I don't know how I got there because I. You know, it's one of those things where I read most of the bloggers on Freethought Blogs long before I was invited to join Freethought Blogs.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's like, you know.
So did somebody just send you an email and say yo, we would like you to be on Freethought Blogs?
Well, you know, now that I'm in the know, I can look back and I remember having a few little Twitter or email or you know just conversations with people going, so would you ever want to join a group blog? And I'm like, yeah, I guess that'd be cool. Yeah.
Did you comment on other people's blogs on Freethought? Thought blogs, and that maybe was what got your name in their heads, or
yeah, maybe
active.
Jen McCrite, Black mm-hmm. Hag.
Yeah.
She was one of the first blogs that I actually followed regularly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was back in 2009, and so I'd been following some of the people for a really long time. So yeah, I
Very
think,
cool.
And then you know, I started blogging in 2009 also, so I'd been doing it for a little while.
What sorts of things do you blog about?
I blog about anything and everything. I have a personal blog. I don't try to limit it to anything specific. So mm-hmm. I blog about what's going on in my life because I think that keeps it fresh. And I'm not trying to, like, I don't view my blog as, like, a public service or, you know, not trying to get information out all the time. It's what's on my brain, what keeps me happy, what keeps me interested. And occasionally it'll intersect with some things that I feel very strongly about. So I feel very
sure.
strongly about social justice issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've started blogging about atheism a lot more since I joined Freethought Blogs. Go figure.
I don't know how that happened, yeah.
It's so strange.
That's kind of
you do a lot of photo blogging, I notice.
I love to take photographs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you use Instagram or any of those other photo
Heck
apps
yeah.
that people use all the time?
Heck yeah. The
awesome.
Someone told me a long time ago the best camera to have is the one that's in your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's whatever I have on me, and sometimes I don't want to carry a $1,200 camera around with me, you know, at
right.
the state fair or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know. Because
the
it
bathroom.
Greases hard to get.
Yeah.
So.
Have you heard of this? I just heard about this thing, people throwing cameras, camera throw.
No.
They you set
it's
your
a thing.
You set your timer on
it's
your camera for like 30 seconds, and you toss it up in the air or toss it to someone and hope you get a good shot in the air.
It's what the kids
are doing.
Oh,
and,
yeah. What the youngins
are
doing.
With their parents' cameras.
Mommy and daddy's cameras.
So there's,
yeah.
And there's
yeah.
even like an app for smartphones that uses the accelerometer to take a picture at the peak of the toss.
Brienne's got her hand in her mouth, like, just horrified.
Cringing, oh my god, how did you do that to a camera?
But I guess some people are getting, I mean, you get, like, you know, ooh, trippy stuff, like, because it's rotating and there's light and stuff like that. Yeah. And then other times you get cool aerial, like, if you throw it straight up, you can get neat top-down views, and it's kind of a crapshoot, but there's an entire Flickr...
All of photography is a crapshoot.
Well, yeah, sure.
It's very weird.
At the Amanda Palmer concert I was at, I took 1,200 photos.
Wow.
I came out with about 30 that were good, so...
Yeah,
you were showing us a picture that you took, because you met somebody that knew Nick and Molly at the concert.
I met Simone Elliott, my cohort at Fantasy Flight Games.
Is she a friend of the show?
She's a friend of the show.
Shout out.
She keeps me sane at work, so she's awesome. And she's a friend of Ville, too.
I freaked her out a little bit, because she was like, I work at Fantasy Flight Games. And I'm like, I know somebody works at Fantasy Flight Games. And she's like, you do? And I'm like, well, no. I know of Molly. How do you know Molly? I listen to her podcast, so I don't really know her. I don't stalk her or anything.
No. Here's some of her hair. Yeah.
No one stalks me.
No. And she's like, but the funniest thing, like I said upstairs, the funniest thing was she's like, I have Nick and Molly's, what do you call them?
Our trading cards.
Yeah. She, like, whips them out, literally whips them out of her back pocket.
That's so funny that she had them with her.
Yeah, you guys send
me that picture. I really want to post it. It might have been out of her purse.
I want it. It would have been a great story if it was literally out of her back pocket, but I don't know.
It would have been funnier. She just had them in her hand, like she did small, like close-up magic. Just like, like an explosion, and then there they are, and hovering.
She pulled mine out of, like, a dirty sack in her purse. Molly's was like in a little, like, you know, see-through classy bag, fire protected, right? Yeah.
Classy bag. I know.
The dirty sack and classy bag. That's gonna be like the name of the episode right there. Okay, so you blog at BioDork. It's a really good blog. I read it.
Thank you. I read it every day.
Well, every day you post something. You know,
it's true. I don't post every day, but
you know, and you also are a host and interviewer on Atheists Talk Radio.
Yes, I love that. It's been amazing, you guys. I came in and I knew. I had done some student radio in college, but, you know, and I have a little bit of theater background, acting background.
It helps, though. I mean,
It helps you with the breathing and the enunciating and the, you know, being heard on the on the mic. But the most amazing thing is the speakers. I had no idea about the caliber of speakers that they have, because we have a fearless producer. Like, he will call anybody.
He
doesn't care who you are. If you put out, he gets a lot of authors in. So if you put out a book, he will call you. So my favorite interview of all time.
I was just going to say,
guys, we got to put out a book.
Yes.
Anyway. Are you ready?
Yes.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I heard that.
You got to interview him?
Oh my god.
I was the host for that one. Stephanie's Van was the actual interviewer.
Awesome.
Stephanie's Van, friend of the show.
She prepped like crazy. Stephanie has been on the show.
She was in one of her first guests.
She like went all out. She knew her stuff, and she asked her blog readers, like,
that's
if you
awesome.
Could ask Neil deGrasse Tyson anything,
that's
because
amazing.
It might be relevant, what would it be?
Yeah.
Are your episodes archived? Like, can we listen to this somewhere on
yes,
the iTunes?
Indeed,
or?
Thank you. Well, actually, yeah, it is on iTunes. If you look up Atheist Talk on iTunes, you can find it. Or if you look up Minnesota Atheist on iTunes, you can find it. Otherwise, you can go to mnatheist.org.
We'll have to post a link.
Yeah, we'll definitely post a link. Yep.
For sure.
Because that's something
that's
exciting. Yeah, he's charming as hell.
We got to talk about decomposing aliens.
Oh, wow.
In between the breaks. Like, because that's always the most fun, right? When you're doing a show, it's the in-between the...
Yeah.
So the one thing I'm going to say about that, because I was at the Minnesota Atheist meeting, and they were talking about the fact that you're having a little bit of a problem with funding right now. Isn't that right?
It is very expensive to do radio.
Because you got to buy airtime.
We do. We're on AM 950, which is local. It's KTNF here in... It's
the talk radio,
Yep, indeed. And it's very expensive, and we have some very dedicated donors, and we've got some sponsors for the show, but we can always use more funds, and, you know, we're thinking about different ways to do that, but we always accept donations. So
they can go to Minnesota Atheists, and there's like a donation button for Atheist Talk.
I think there's a big, I mean, along the top bar, it'll say donate, and you can choose where you want your funds.
not subtle. They're not shy about it.
We learned that in Renaissance.
Absolutely.
But it's like I said, it's a really important show, I think, and it's one of the reasons mm-hmm. why I volunteer, because there are not a ton of atheist shows out there. There's getting to be more.
Yeah, and definitely not in Minnesota either. Right. We're not the big city draw of, you know, like New York or California, mm-hmm. where they might have more, you know, just people in general.
Right. Yeah. And with that population density comes
By the way, I'm gonna say we're working on it too, but I'm just gonna say that Chris Kluwe is an agnostic.
Yes.
So he's totally in your ballpark. We're trying to get him on this show.
Your producer should call
him.
He's a huge geek. He's a huge Warcraft player. He's like our demographic.
He's a sociopolitical history major who knows so much about.
So if you guys get to him first, you know, just mention us, would you?
And if we get to him, we'll send him your way.
Very good collaboration.
Guest exchange program.
Because we've been emailing with him, but he's everybody's interviewing him these days.
Well, yeah, he was on the cover of Out magazine, and which they bragged it's Chris Kluwe interview and like shirtless photo shoot.
It was all
pushed as like an extra bonus thing. Like
I admire anyone who can be so intellectual and so on top of the issue and write a letter that has the word cock monster in it.
Cock monster.
I've seen the shirts.
Cock monsters, yes.
The shirts that are like, beware, I'm a lustful cock monster.
Yes. I'm wearing that shirt. Shirt needs to be worn by me.
I almost bought it for you.
Google search lustful cock monster. You can, it's not a problem.
Sparkle ponies is what he changed it to in the cleaned up version.
Yeah, he did. Clean
They're not going to change you into sparkle ponies.
All right, so what else do you want to tell us about you before we move on to the next topic?
Let's see. What about me? So I do that.
What do you do for work?
What do I do for work? I'm a scientist.
Well, sweet. Scientists are awesome.
I graduated in 2002, and I still can't believe the word scientist is in my
That's awesome. Job. I love that. And do science.
I work for Beckman Coulter, which is located in Chaska. We're a local diagnostics firm, and I am currently working on cardiac blood tests. So if someone is having chest pains and they go into the ER, my company makes the test that they will draw to look for markers in your blood
that
might help the doctor confirm if you're having a heart attack or not.
Absolutely.
So, is that really cool stuff.
Is that a restrictive environment to work on as far as, like, anything hands-on, I'm assuming, has to be really sterile or...
It's routine, you know, universal precautions, so it's...
No, like, crazy clean room stuff?
Our manufacturing side does.
Your manufacturing side. Okay, so it's more...
50-50, which is great. Yeah, so I can spend half the time on my ass, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
One of the things that frustrates me that I write about a lot and talk about a lot is the negative impression we have in this country of scientists in general. That when scientists tell us something, our natural response, or I don't want to say our natural response, but a natural response is to say, well, they don't know what they're talking about. They only went to school to learn about it. I know better.
Those
climatologists are talking about global warming, don't know anything about global warming. I know about global warming. Or those paleontologists don't know anything about evolution. I know about evolution. And I would think that in your field, you don't face that as much. Yeah. But as a scientist, isn't that frustrating?
Well, not even as a scientist. It's just a frustrating situation.
It is. I'm not a scientist, and it pisses me off. But I just... I always wonder if it pisses off scientists more.
That's BioDork.
That's why BioDork. Yeah. Yes.
Sure. Yep. Sure. And actually, BioDork came from BioDork was my first Hotmail account that I made, or my first email. So my first email account that I made in college.
I love hearing about people's username like origin story. That's always because some people have usernames they've had since they were like 12 years old, and like that's what I got on Prodigy Net with, and or like Molly used to BBS on her Apple IIe, and so like she has screen names that go back.
I have a screen name that goes back to 1993 that I don't use anymore because it was ridiculous.
What is it?
Come on,
Mocha. Because I was in a play called Runaways, and since I went to a pretty much all-white private school, the Jamaican character had to be played by the only girl with a low enough voice to pull it off. So I was, when it was like, name yourself on this BBS, I was like, well, I'll go with Mocha. It's my character right now. I was really excited to have any kind of solo, so it was a big deal. And I found out later that like half of the BBSing community just assumed I was a black chick until they met me. And then they were like, oh, okay, do you like coffee? And I'm like, not really. It's pretty hilarious.
That's great.
Yeah, my username, just everybody asked me if I like snakes.
It's pet snake Reggie.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones.
It's my pet snake.
It's an Indiana Jones reference. Reggie. Nice. Yeah.
So. Indiana Jones might be a little too narrow. I mean, that's not specific enough.
Yeah, it's a reference to the name of the snake in the plane at the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right. Yeah.
That's just my pet snake, Reggie.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
But anyway, that I always get the question, oh, do you have a pet snake named Reggie? No. I don't. I don't have a snake. Okay, so what other topic do you have there? What do you got? What else are we going to talk about?
Can I pimp my volunteer hobby?
Please. Yes.
Absolutely.
I am a clinic escort for two abortion clinics now.
Nice.
Oh.
So, yes.
Yeah, right up my alley.
Yeah, it's...
no, seriously, though, that is.
Oh, alley. See, I get that. All right, anyway.
Which ones do you work at the Planned Parenthood in Fort Parkway, or do you ever...
That one's not there anymore now. It's over on Vandalia now.
Yeah, it moved, okay. Yeah.
So I just got accepted as a volunteer there, so I'm doing the training, and the training is crazy intense. Yeah. Like, they made me go to two intro to Planned Parenthood classes yesterday to take intro to STIs, and then I have to take intro to birth control.
Mm.
So
yeah.
They like really make sure.
Because they want you to be able to answer questions if they have them.
Well, they don't want you to answer questions for the most part if you're an escort, because they don't want you talking to people.
You just want to. They just want you to help people through the crowd.
They want we're there. And now let's be clear that
better than what probably 90% of the people that you would be escorting into Planned Parenthood are not going in there for an abortion.
Correct, absolutely.
Right. They're just going in there for like a regular exam, for birth control.
Sometimes, honestly, there's pregnancy services there. People are going there to get well visits for pregnancy.
So the majority of people that are being harassed as they go into Planned Parenthood, because this is something that pisses me off a lot, and when it pisses me off, I just want to make it really clear that people understand. I don't imagine there are a lot of pro-lifers on this listening to this podcast, but if you are a pro-lifer, I just think people ought to understand. Most everyone going into a Planned Parenthood clinic that's getting harassed is not going in for an abortion.
Now,
I worked
at the Planned Parenthood in Near North in Chicago, and I worked as an actual like medical assistant down in the abortion services department, which was really, really, I hate to use the word fun, but it was really fun. Like, I enjoyed my work, and I enjoyed getting to meet people, and it was a terrible day for them, but I enjoyed being able to help them through that, if that makes sense. And so we always had protesters on Saturday mornings, you know, outside, because we only had appointments starting at 8 and going until noon, because after noon there were no more abortion appointments, because it takes 4 or 5 hours to get through the whole process of paperwork and everything. So they would leave around 12:30. Because they knew there weren't any more patients coming in for abortions, and they would just take off. And it was just so funny that it was like, when they were there, they were so vitriolic and like spitting hate, but they had to keep moving because the cops were on our side and said that if they are not moving, then they're not picketing, and then they're just obstructing property. And so we had cops that cruised by all the time and would arrest people after two warnings, if they still were, you know, stopping, and the big gross fetus signs and all of it. It was just terrible. Yeah. So that's awesome. I'm really glad that there's cool, smart people like doing it
There's a lot of people out there doing
That's fantastic.
Good for them. Yeah. And what you had a geeky topic too.
I have a lot.
Oh, a lot.
Okay. Yes.
What are you picking out on right now?
Do you remember? Well, first of all, this is an ode to Molly.
Ode to Molly.
Because a couple shows that aired a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Talked about spreadsheets.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to make sure that you knew about concatenate functions and transpose functions.
I don't. I only know about index match functions.
Okay. This is great. So you know how sometimes you make a really long list?
Yeah.
And you're like, damn it, I don't want it to be in rows, I want it to be in columns.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so before I knew about transpose, I would just like start hand typing it.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Or copy paste. But if you highlight that whole column and then copy it, and then paste special. There's a little box where you can click.
Yeah.
And it'll put it in the columns.
That's happening. I'm going to try that tomorrow. That's exciting. I'm just going to make a spreadsheet of words and then just see what happens.
You're just going to try the transpose function.
That's awesome.
What's the other one?
Concatenate, which I believe is a computer science term, but I wasn't familiar with it. I had to look it up because I'm like, where did this word come from? But sometimes you make a whole column of numbers, like, you know, and then you find out you need to add something to it.
Sure.
So you're like, shoot, I need to add BRH to the beginning of all these numbers.
Yeah.
So instead of like copying or cutting,
you can't find your place because they're all individual. Yeah.
So you put the prefix in one row. You put the original data in the second row. And then you write. You do the concatenate formula, and it'll put them together.
That's amazing. Huh.
I know, so I was so excited.
Wow.
I love it. Thank you. This is exciting. It's a new day.
Well, at work tomorrow, Molly's just going to be sitting there going, shut up. Yeah. I'm concatenating.
I am concatenating.
I need to figure that out. I feel like I can do that with product codes right away. Yeah.
Beauty. All right.
Because I hear her talk. She comes home from work and she's like, oh, I made this really awesome spreadsheet. And then she'll go into some detail and it's like, that's really cool. And I'm technical enough to totally understand and follow, I think. And I'm familiar with your Fantasy Flight's products where it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't get a nerd boner from it, but I can appreciate your enthusiasm and I hear about it a lot. Fantastic.
And the second one, since I'm sucking up, I've got another one.
Good.
This one's for Tim.
Yay!
I have to tell you that I listen to Thank You, Sir, May I Have Another all the time.
Oh, that's my CD. That's the Drag CD.
Thank You, Sir, May I Have Another.
That's the one with Wagon Wheel on it.
That was the one that was new last summer, right?
Last summer was the Christmas CD. So
okay.
Thank You, Sir is about 3 years old now.
Okay.
But it's still my favorite. I mean, I like the new CD a lot, but Thank You, Sir is really tight.
It's a blast. Yeah. And that, do you have an apple? That song that starts, do you have?
Yeah, do you, yeah.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
yep.
Do you love an apple? Yeah. Do you have an apple? Love an apple? What's the difference? Sex is the difference. Anyway.
The drags don't need to worry about the words.
We never have before.
That song, I actually sing that to Aaron and switch up the words so that it, like, matches him more.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very sweet. So I have Wagon Wheel on my running playlist, so because there's, like, just nothing. Like, it comes up, and it's, like, no matter how tired I am, I'm like, oh, all right, let's keep going. Like,
that song will sell a CD every time we sing it.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah. the band's always like, why are we singing this song so much? I'm like, because every time we sing it, we sell a CD. And they're like, really? I'm like, pay attention.
Yep. For sure.
And we sing it, and the show ends, and somebody comes up and goes, I love you guys. Can I get a CD? Which one has that song on it?
Uh-huh,
I'm like,
uh-huh.
See? There you go. So thank you. Thank you. That is my favorite.
Okay, and what else did I have? I had awesome. Oh, I need your help.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So I just started geeking out.
So this is the last thing
we have
to do before five questions.
Okay. Right. So this is board games.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Board games. Yeah. Right.
That's some of our wheelhouse.
I need to know what a Euro game is because somebody used it in a very derogatory fashion.
Sure.
When I said that I loved Seven Wonders, and they went, oh, well, it's good for a Euro game, and it's good between real games. Like, if you just need a breather, it's like mouthwash in between real games.
Did they give an example of what they consider a real game? I'm curious.
No.
Because is Euro game, is that...
Like games? Rails? Like any of the Rails games? That's a Euro
Ticket
game.
Ticket to Ride...
Puerto Rico.
But
Catan.
I don't understand what that means. Is that games that
it's
are designed in Europe?
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
German?
Yeah, usually Germany or Italy. Like it's
just, Mayfair? Would they be considered?
Well, because Catan, all Mayfair does is Catan.
Well,
so, right. I mean.
That's all they have to do, really.
That's exactly. Yeah. That's all. But the
I would say, like, wooden pieces is pretty common.
There's two slurs basically. Is like people either use Eurogame derisively or Ameritrash is the other one.
Ah.
Yeah, Ameritrash is any kind of like shitty thrown together like a skinned game. Like this is Dogopoly. It's Monopoly with dogs. And that's my understanding of them. So by all means, board game nerds, do what you do all day long to me and just write me in and tell me how I'm wrong. That's my life.
That's her job. That's what she does when she's not getting boners over spreadsheets.
Yes.
She's dealing with gamer nerds complaining about this sort of thing.
Utilities game, the power company? Power Grid. That's a Euro game, totally.
You know what?
Whoever
has a problem with Euro games, fuck you. I love Transamerica. Transamerica is awesome.
And so is Seven Wonders.
And so is Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, I love Euro games.
Seven Wonders is really fun.
Who gives a crap what games you play as long as you enjoy?
Sounds like your friend's a dick.
I have to say my favorite game that I just picked up.
Yeah.
Because it's my second big kid game. That means I had to pay more than $20 for
it. Yeah.
Lords of Waterdeep.
Really? That one.
It's fantastic. So I was at a convention. I was at Gay Lexicon.
It's D&D.
Oh, Gay Lexicon.
Yes. Yeah. So much fun.
One of our friends is part runner of that. That's awesome. I love that. I love it. Yeah. Nice.
And Burl.
Yeah, I think it's a Euro game. It has wooden pieces, has really colorful cards, I don't do a lot of D&D, but I know it is one of the kingdoms from D&D.
Yeah.
And so, I won't try to go through the game because it's possible, but I've been trying to indoctrinate everybody into it. It's
awesome.
Yeah. How long does it take to play?
About 90 minutes for new players, about an hour for experienced
players. Is that the one that's kind of like Risk?
Lords of Waterdeep. That's not a bad playtime. I like playing games that are between 60 and 90 minutes.
Is that the one that's four players, different colored armies?
Five players, different colored armies.
And it's kind
of... You are a Lord of Waterdeep. You send your agents out to recruit fighters, and then you
try to take quests. I'm confusing it with a different one, but I've seen that one. I haven't played it.
You think the one we played with Bomber?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's... I've heard that's fun.
I've also heard good things about that game. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should, if you ever have the time and the money, come on. If you want to just get your board game nerd on, come out to Indiana in August for Gen Con. Nice. It will blow your mind, man. It is so huge. It's 30,000 people, and it's all board games all the time. It's awesome.
I always made fun of, where do they play the board games at Convergence? It's like...
The 22nd floor.
I always made fun of it because I'd never been up there. So, of course, I make fun of it because I fear it because I don't know it.
Sure. Yeah. That's America. That's what we do. Yeah.
That's humans.
But now I think I might have to stop. But you know what? Board games at conventions are things like...
Well, yeah, the reason I don't go up there is not because I think there's anything wrong with board gaming, but because the convention's only 4 days long. And I got way other things. And, I mean, that's 90 minutes. You know, if I play a board game that's 90 minutes long, that's 90 minutes that I wasn't doing something else.
Right.
There's gaming consuite now, though, so you can go up right by consuite. There's rooms just full of board games, so you can just grab one of those and play right there.
That's the best way to do it. Be social, and as your friends walk by, they can stop and chat and stuff like that.
I don't know if we're going to do it again, but this last year, Fantasy Flight Games had a booth where you could check out any one of our games, and you could take it back to your room. You could take it out to the courtyard and play wherever, and then you brought it back.
I didn't even know you guys had that.
We just did that this year, spur of the moment. So I don't know if they're going to do it next year or not.
It seemed to go over pretty well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
We got to get to five questions.
Okay.
We got to get to five questions. And the reason I asked you to be on the podcast is because we mentioned to people they can send in their answers.
Yeah.
And Brianne sent in her answers, and I'm like, holy shit, Brianne. And she does this blog that I read. And we got to just get her on the podcast. You know, so
awesome.
So whatever answers you send are irrelevant at this point. You don't have to go back and try and remember what you're sending.
I'm going to have to look at my sandwich because I was so exquisite in the details.
It's true. It
was a good detail, but. We'll start basic. So, question number one, best movie you've seen in the last 30 days.
Okay, I saw so many. We did a movie marathon this weekend.
Nice.
Oh, cool. Cool.
But Argo wins.
Argo.
I haven't seen it yet.
That's next on our list.
We've seen three new movies in the last 2 weeks, and that's the one one of them we haven't seen. So.
Yeah, I've heard so many good things
about
Argo.
My ass was clenched for 2.5 hours, or however long it is.
Nice.
I was like this for the whole movie.
Do you like other Ben Affleck movies? Have you seen The Town and Gone Baby Gone and stuff
The Town and Gone Baby Gone are both really good
movies. I haven't seen The Town, but Gone Baby Gone was really good.
Mallrats was good. No, it's been a while since I've seen
it. I did like Julie.
My wife and I were choosing between Argo and Looper, and I don't feel like we made a bad decision with Looper.
Looper's good.
But we still need to see Argo.
I heard that, and without giving anything away, and I haven't seen Argo, but I heard that the credits are a real treat. I don't want to say anything more.
This thing's going to air in a month and a half. I think at this point, spoilers are...
It's not a spoiler to say watch the damn credits.
I think it's the design.
Melissa Kircher, our friend that also one of our first guests who designed our logo, we ran into her at the movie theater, and she'd just come out of Argo, and she was like, the credits are the best part. It was fucking amazing.
So it was the end credits that she saw.
Yeah.
So if you have not yet seen Argo...
Yes.
Watch awesome. The end credits.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
And okay, so this one was also good. I have to say my second one. How to Survive a Plague. It's down at the Lagoon. It's an independent. It's a documentary about ACT UP. And holy crap, bring a whole box of Kleenex with you.
Okay.
Oh boy.
It's all for, I don't know how if people know what ACT UP is, but it's the citizen group that rose up and united in anger over the AIDS epidemic. Mm-hmm. Oh,
okay.
Oh. So because they said that there wasn't enough progress being made, people weren't paying attention because it was the gay cancer, it was only affecting gays.
End of the 80s, early
90s. Jesse Helms was an asshole and
grids so and all that.
They reference it in The Rent.
Yes, they do. In Rent, yep. This is in my head for the rest of the day, but excellent movie. But,
all right.
Okay, good.
So our second question is, who is your favorite atheist character?
Okay, so I'm going to stick with my original one that I wrote in, which is Paul the Alien.
Oh,
I love that movie.
That
movie's
I liked
great.
It a lot, and no one, you know, like, I don't run into a lot of people who actually sat down and saw it because they looked at the actors that were in it and thought it was going to be like another Dude, Where's My Car or something along with aliens.
Yeah. We love, like, story comedy.
Why would you like
it's weird, right?
This is Shaun of the Dead Hot Fuzz people.
Yeah. Yeah.
How would you look at that and think it's going to be anything but awesome?
Dude, Where's My Car is a great movie.
Dude, Where's My Car is a fantastic movie. I'll go on record as saying that.
I will not.
That
doesn't even matter because these are the guys that made Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead,
and Ant-Man eventually,
that's why you go watch Paul because you should know.
Oh, and Attack the Block.
And Paul is a great character because he you know, when it comes to talking about whether or not there's a God, he's just like, so matter of fact, he's like, there's not a God. You people are fucking idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
And it's beautiful.
Yeah,
good choice.
It's very funny. Yeah.
All right, so your third question is, what is your geekiest hobby? By your own definition.
So because I knew what the questions were, I thought about this a lot. And I didn't want to say a hobby that, like, geeks share, because that's...
Right.
I mean, you've got to go beyond that. Right?
Exactly.
Geeky to geeks, even.
Yeah, okay. So... You know Tim's magnet collection upstairs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mine is like a gazillion times worse than
that. So refrigerator magnets?
Yes,
refrigerator magnets?
Like things that light up and make noises.
Oh.
Does it have to be...
Happy birthday to you.
Does it have to be someplace you've been? Or is it just any...
That's how it started out. That was the original intention. Because I knew it would get out of hand, but then it got out of hand.
So. Yeah.
I collect non-refrigerator magnets. I like... Like
rare earth magnets.
Yeah.
Neodymium and shit like that. Like, yeah, my cubicle at work is just fucking covered in
magnets. Because it's a thing that I do with my kids. When we go on vacation together, any place that we go, we pick out... It's actually my son, Devin, my younger son, that we pick out a magnet that's our memory of that...
Sure.
Place.
It's your Horcrux.
It's your Horcrux.
Yeah, it's the vacation's Horcrux.
That's great.
All right.
So are they all on your fridge, or are they? Has it spread?
Not only are they all on my fridge, but my husband actually made me put them on one side of the fridge that faces away from where the people, the guests, would come in.
Do you have any just in storage? Like, there's just not room for them.
Not yet. All right.
Now I have a goal to help.
But
Brienne.
I do. My favorite one. It sits. Right above the water bowl where the pets drink out of.
Yeah.
It's a big orange cat and it's smoking a magnet cigar. And it freaked the dog out when I first put it down there, which was awesome.
That's so awesome.
Okay, so next question. What's your favorite sandwich?
Okay, I got it. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, so this is going to sound like I'm reading from something, because I am. The Italian Hero from Rubino's Italian Imports in Tinley Park, Illinois. That's where I grew up.
Okay.
So, they called it the Rubino's Special Italian, and they slapped Genoa salami, capicola, mortadella, prosciutto, provolone, oil, vinegar, lettuce, onion, and tomato.
That is a Nick Death sandwich.
Yeah, did you say
what kind of bread it was?
I did not. No, but it was a white bread.
Like an Italian?
Yeah.
Was it crusty bread, like crunchy?
Yeah, and soft on the inside.
Is it
you guys love crusty
cold,
bread
cold?
So bad.
Cold.
Yeah. Cold deli sandwich.
All right. If you wanted a hot sandwich from there, you would get the meatball sub.
Okay.
So that
that sounds like a great sandwich.
I'm a big fan of any. I really like the Italian nightclubs or anything that has a lot of different salamis and capicoras and all that stuff slathered on. I don't like onions, so I don't usually get them with onions, but I like vinegar, oil, hot peppers. Yep. It's good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's like actually Chicago what I eat peppers. Now because I found out I was gluten intolerant, so now I get the Unwich from Jimmy John's.
Oh, yeah,
I love Jimmy John's Unwiches. Man,
those Unwiches are like, it's like 150 calories of protein and vegetables. And they're filling as hell. Like, yeah. Those are good.
They're tasty.
Yeah, I'm a fan of
even
those.
Even the tuna salad one works. You wouldn't think so with the drippiness, but it's delicious.
I hope I'm never gluten intolerant. I like bread way too much.
Oh, yeah, I'm lucky. So then our last question of our five is, what's the stupidest comment you've received regarding your atheism?
It was somebody who I came out as an atheist to a couple years ago who knew me fairly well and knew that my dad had died in 2006.
Oh, boy.
So this wasn't too far, too far from that. And they said, so you're okay with the fact that you're never going to get to see your dad again?
What does that have to do with being an atheist?
My dad
died in 1986, and I am not okay with the fact that I'm never going to see him again. What has that got to do with
it? It's like, how are you supposed to answer that question?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm okay with the fact that I'm never going to. Of course, I'm not okay with it. That doesn't mean I'm a Christian.
Yeah, it sucks, but it doesn't mean it's going to be different if I.
Yeah. Oh, honey, that's awful.
So that was. I thought that was just evil, and but you know what? But that's the thing. That was actually the thing that was hardest for me to let go. When I accepted that I was really an atheist, that was the best label to describe my beliefs. Was the fact that I had to say, okay, well, you know, if you're really going to write off this God thing, you got to write off the heaven thing. You got to write off the
afterlife.
I have a weird confession.
You got to write off seeing anybody you care about.
I sort of still believe in a pet afterlife. I just can't help myself because I literally can't bring myself to think that like something, because it's like you can't talk to a pet and let them know that everything's gonna be okay before they die. There's no communication there, so that's my one thing I tell myself. I don't actually believe it, but it's like the thing. It's like no, they're going to a better place.
They're nice words.
She's going to a better place, and it's gonna be a place she can run all day, and everything's fine.
And
it's pet heaven. It's more believable to me than human heaven.
That's incredible. All right, well, Brianne, thanks so much for joining us.
This has been
a great
conversation. So once again, we want to pimp your stuff. So you are at BioDork on Free Thought Blogs.
Yes.
Atheists Talk, which they can find the podcast or the RSS feed at minnesotaatheist.com.
And MNAtheist.org.
What time does it air on 9:50?
Oh, my God.
If they're in Minnesota?
9 a.m.
Is.
Yeah, but you can listen live, too, on the AM950 website.
So, nice. So it's like going to church without God. Yes. So, in terms of having to get up early,
it's not boring, Tim. In terms of
much easier to stay awake.
In terms of not getting up early on a Sunday,
is there wine?
And if anyone listening wants to help them out, you should donate to them on their website.
Yeah, go to MNAtheist.
It's a good thing,
and indicate that you want to donate to Atheist Talk. And so I just want to say thanks. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I blog at PetSnakeReggie.com. If you would like to send us your answers to our five questions, send it to Tim, Nick, or Molly at geekswithoutgod.com. And please friend us on Facebook because we like friends on Facebook. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks to Tim Wick and Jeffrey Brown for our theme song, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and look at past podcasts at www.geekswithoutgod.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
I'd like to thank Jeffrey for being in the room while I wrote our theme song.
Oh, that is not the story he tells.